the 9th, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, online to www.blogtalkradiomirajspeech.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we have an announcement, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. Amina Bey. Greetings, family. I ask that you join me and my family, and I ask that you join me and my family in support for my cousin, Tamina Nasari, my clear. We continue to pray for her recovery, and we thank you in advance for your generous donation, lunchgood.com. Tamina Nasari, McCleary, we need assistance for home modification and accessibles. Also, we are asking everyone to pray for our beloved sister, Haji Shakira. Her janazah is tomorrow, March 10th at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at Masjid Ola in Plainfield, New Jersey. The Quran said, because your mind is terribly limited and that life is too big for you. Don't let your own mind cause you to doubt what God has said or cause you to go astray or do something different from what God has established. Follow Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. Obey and believe in him. Know that your mind is terribly limited and that life is too big for you. You need the divine word of God, and you need a man that God accepted as a guide for you to follow. That man is Prophet Muhammad. We know that the form life takes, whether it is religious, business, cultural, or political, there is a content for it. Everything must exist within some content, within some boundary. We don't live and think any and everywhere. All of our activities are limited to certain boundaries in its identity. So God said that he has made for everything a knowledge content to give it a boundary and to give it an identity. So when you leave that knowledge content, you come out of your boundary and out of your identity. Unless we see and understand this, we are in the dark. Knowledge of our own situation and what is required of us in that situation is the light for us. Without that knowledge, we are in the dark. A person may call himself a Muslim and live in a knowledge content that is not Muslim. And though he calls himself a Muslim, that does not make him one. Be a knowledge content, because it is within that content that life of a thing we identify with is protected. It is Muslim knowledge that makes a person a Muslim. So we are not supposed to have everybody in one little group under one person. In fact, you can't progress in such a situation. Any leaders, imams, or amka representatives that will cooperate with people in keeping the Muslim confined to one place and under one leader are themselves or infiltrators. They are working with people who are trying to keep the little man from growing. A situation such as that is not of our religion. Al-Islam is not a religion of containment. It is not designed to hold people in prison. Prison house within. So you carry within a condition of enslavement, confinement, that limits your freedom. So there is a prophet called Yusuf in the Quran and Joseph in the Bible. As a child, he was sold into slavery by his own brothers. Now, what is Scripture telling us in this story of Joseph? It is saying that there is something that may prevail as a condition which amounts to enslavement or confinement. So this condition is a prison. Systems of knowledge. The Quran, Surah 1, Ayah 2, Lord of all the world. Systems of knowledge. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayah 7, Allah in passage. Everything in knowledge. So the systems of knowledge is everything that exists except Allah. Wasakuli shared an ailment. Everything has been encompassed in knowledge. Kula Sherlin, that means that there is no single thing in the universe that doesn't have a knowledge text. It has a knowledge text. And it's knowledge text, it is systems of knowledge. Yes. It's knowledge text, it is systems of knowledge. So the knowledge text of the human being is in the science of the human being mix up. So his human body, for a bird is different, for what wheat grain is different. For everything it's different, right? So for every single thing it's different. The Quran, Surah 41, Ayah 53, signs in the heavens and in yourself. The Quran, Surah 7, Ayah 89, reaches to recesses with his knowledge. So everything has its knowledge text. And God blesses science to find that knowledge text. And we say find what God says in the material side, in the material side, but they don't find what God says to see how God made all of that, to read something to man that he relates to his own creation. And everything in the heavens and in the earth, there are signs as well as in yourself. So this mic, microphone, to know what this mic is, you have to go to the scientist who invented it, right? And we invite, and the inventor will tell you how this mic operates. He will give you the science, the knowledge, bodies for this thing they call a mic. So everything that exists has its knowledge text. That's what Allah means when he says, Wasakuli, Sherlin, Ilman. And in another place, he said, Ilman, Wasrakma, knowledge and the mercy. Why? Because when you get the knowledge, the utility, that God's mercy is to you. So Wasakuli, Sherlin, Ilman, Wasrakma. The Quran, Surah 12, Ayah 76, over all is one endued with knowledge. The Quran, Surah 30, Ayah 56, those endued with knowledge. Now, Lord of the systems of knowledge, where do we go directly to see what it's addressing? The planet, the universe, the stars, the makeup, this universe. Each one is a body of knowledge and a universal system of knowledge. But each one has its own separate body of knowledge in the universal system of knowledge. So if you study Mars, you get a different body of knowledge than you get out of the study of Mercury. So you study Earth and you get a different body of knowledge. So each body has its own individuality in its terms of its composition, its makeup, and its situation in the universe. Therefore, it has its own text. Each one has its own text, and inside the sphere of each one of these, there are many things. And every still thing has its knowledge body and its text, systems of knowledge. God guided me to that. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayah 7, mercy, knowledge over all things. So this world that God made is bigger than us. We can't manage this big world. God created without God's help. Ask what God wants us to know. That this big world of sky and earth is too big for you to manage, to handle by yourself. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayah 7, knowledge, mercy, overreaches all things. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayah 7, mercy, knowledge, overreaches all things. Muslim, 65:18, education, seek Allah, makes path easy. So knowledge, purpose, to bring relief. Now, what is all this to say to us about knowledge and mercy? You can be cruel with knowledge. With knowledge, you can do cruel things. But God didn't intend knowledge to be used that way. The knowledge is to be used to bring relief to the society, to the human family. And you can be cruel with kindness. But God intended that our kindness be sincere. Our kindness be unselfishness. Our kindness be in accord with the will of God, who is all good and does not accept any bad or any wrong. Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, surely God is good and does not accept any wrong or any bad. And to give more support to that description of God as a God of all good, God says to us in the Quran, do not put into your charity that would shame you if it was disclosed to the people where you got it from. So God is good and does not accept anything, no bad thing, no wrong thing. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayah 7, Allah reaches over all in mercy and knowledge. Now, can you see the resemblance of Islam focused on the beginning of man and the Genesis focused on the beginning of man? So what did they say of the Khalifa? He said he's making subservient. He's making useful. And making yield its usefulness. Not just useful, but it's going to yield its usefulness. It made things in the sky and on earth to yield its usefulness. Yield their usefulness to the human person that will accept the responsibility that God created the human person for. That's the Khalifa. So if we accept the responsibility that God created you for, he says that he is going to make everything you see in this world serve you, serve your mind, for the benefit of your society. Mercy has come from knowledge and science. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, that he has extended everything so that it will have science, ilma, knowledge and science, wal-rahma, and mercy, the greatest mercy, have come from knowledge. And science, these clothing, they are a mercy, especially in Chicago in this month, December. These clothing are a mercy, but even if it was warm weather, I would wear thinner clothing. And the thin garments in the warm weather is a mercy because I would like to just take off everything and be as cool as I can be. But the mercy of God, through revelation, enlightenment, divine enlightenment, has made me ashamed to just go naked when he put a monkey in clothing. Education, a requirement in religion. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayah 7, Allah reaches over in knowledge and mercy. The Quran, Surah 96, Ayat 1, read with the name of your Lord. Masjid, page 1, 136 and 218, education obligation on every Muslim. Egyptian leader visited from the Department of Religion. When I became a leader, I had a visitor from Egypt. He came from the government, but a religious person sent from the religious department. And first thing he said to me was, "You know, I'm acquainted with your brother, Akbar." Akbar was educated by them at Al-Azhar University, the most popular, the most famous university in the Islamic world. "By popular opinion in the Islamic world," he said, "I know your brother Akbar. And in fact, I've talked to him, and we know of you, but we don't know you too well." I said, "Yes, that's true." He said, "If we have a choice, we'd like to pick the one who is educated. But if we don't, if we don't have that choice, we would pick the one who is good." Yes, that's what he told me, Dr. Ibrahim from Egypt. So I'm agreeing with him. Education is the number one priority in Al-Islam. Respect for knowledge is part of propagation of Al-Islam. So this is an important part of preaching of Al-Islam or spreading Al-Islam to make the people aware of the importance of knowledge and to have them respect knowledge. God says to us in our holy book, and Donnell, you know Arabic too, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he has tied everything together and has incorporated everything, the whole universe, upon knowledge and mercy. It means that everything has its inner content of knowledge and mercy. So what am I speaking using the microphone, this inventor of modern science, modern technology? I'm using it to carry the voice to the PA system for the broadcast. But you can study the microphone and it has its own knowledge. When you study the mic, you're studying the knowledge of it and the PA system, right? So that goes for everything. And if it's a mosquito, it has mosquito knowledge. So judge, law should have knowledge and mercy. Science will study the mosquito and give you the science of his life so you will understand how he lives, why he wants blood, and how he flies and everything. So God said this to us 1,400 years ago, long before modern science and technology. He told us that through Muhammad the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, he told all of humanity that everything is contained in a content of science, knowledge, and mercy. As to tell the wise judge, don't just go upon your knowledge, but respect your human heart and know when mercy is to be ruled. So that's for everything you know, knowledge and mercy. Death is mercy. Death is a mercy. So we find that even death is a mercy. Most people see death as if it's frightening to think of it and says, "Oh, I'm going to die and my child is going to die." Yes, we all are going to die. But God has created death as a mercy. So read with the name of your Lord. So knowledge is priority number one, priority. Education, then in our responsibility, then it is our responsibility. And you know the first word revealed to Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, 1,400 years ago was read. The first word of revelation to him was read, Iqra, in the Arabic Quranic term. He said to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, read in the name of your Lord who created. And you know all of that. Education first tells students God is responsible. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayat 7, knowledge, mercy, overreaches all things. So before you tell a child anything about education, you should tell a child without creation, matter, that you should tell that you see sky and the earth and our bodies and animals created a power we don't know and can't conquer. We would not have anything to teach you in this school. That's what they should tell them first. Then they would be educating children and educating people who will have it straight and who will be free to make much more of their lives than what they are making of their lives today. But because you can have a PhD, you can have many PhDs and you can fall down to the lowest of the low. Drug, liquor, lust for the things of this world can bring that PhD down to the lowest of the low. Disappointment, something he attached himself to, or she attached herself to disappointment or disappoint you, fall down sometimes to the lowest of the low. But if they would introduce education correctly, begin with the God that made the world out of which all knowledge comes, He has extended everything and compassed everything, connected everything, and pardon me, he extended everything and expand everything and cannot and connect everything upon knowledge and mercy. So what is God telling us? Telling us everything created has knowledge to offer you, and everything created has a mercy to offer you. Doesn't civilization, the growth of education for society, bring not only knowledge, but also a more compassionate world to live in, and a more comfortable and more merciful world to live in? So God has said that by way of revelation to Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, knowledge, science, and mercy in the whole universe. So the Quran, Surah 40, Ayah 7, Allah over things, all pardoning, Allah over all things in mercy and knowledge. So you mentioned something very important. Our whole religion is education. Not only that, the whole universe, everything in the skies and in the earth is education. God says, Wasakuli Sherlin Rachmatin Wa Ilma. Wasia Eskuli Sherlin Rachmatin Wa Ilma. Everything that exists that God made is there to give us a knowledge, science, and mercy. That's what God says. Education compulsory starts with Muhammad. So the Quran, Surah 40, Ayah 7, Allah reaches over all in mercy and knowledge. The Quran, Surah 96, Ayah 1, education compulsory started with Muhammad. Manual Hadith, page 69-15, obligation on every Muslim. So God says in the Quran, Rabbana wasiya attakuli la sherlin rahmatin wa ilman, that is, everything exists that intends itself, multiplies itself, etc., with knowledge and mercy. Everything God has created will extend to man if he obeys God, if he respects God, not only knowledge and science, but also mercy. So we know that with the Quran coming in the world, science will revive. The intellect was reawakened. Science began to flourish again in the communities of mankind. So this is a reality. This is a fact of history, not a myth, not a religious claim only, but a fact of history. But where was the destiny for the people of the book? It was lost until the Quran came to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, and Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, preaching the word of God, awakened the intellect of man and excited an interest in the material universe for positive and good benefits. and they became the new generation of scientists. And who led it? The Muslim followers of Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. So think about that now. What is missing in the message of Islam today? We have that kind of presence in the world of science today. We are getting slowly, but not only us. Hindus are getting it. Chinese, or many others. The Russians, we know. But many others are engaging the work of scientific research and et cetera. And the folk, the universe is not for white folk. The universe is not for the yellow people. The universe is for all people. And if you don't block the way, you'll have all people making their contribution, you will have all people making contribution to science and to the society of mankind so that we have conveniences. And when you have conveniences, you also have mercy. So when God says that he has incorporated all things, that he has caused all things to be extended to us with knowledge and mercy, he is saying to us, if you want a more merciful society, you want a more merciful human life on this planet Earth, God creation, for its knowledge and its sciences. And then when you get it, you will bring comfort. Look what came to replace the donkey and the horse, Mercedes-Benz and all other cars. I didn't forget American General Motors, but you are African American. When I come in your neighborhood, I say your neighborhood, I'm you, but I say your neighborhood. When I'm driving around in your neighborhood, I see more Mercedes-Benz than I see anything else, anywhere else. You poor African-Americans, I'm talking about you. I pull up in a parking lot just 2 days ago, a Mercedes-Benz on my left and one on my right. I said, good God almighty, it must be a black neighborhood. Every citizen has to be educated, both male and female. So it took centuries for us to come to that civilized position that all human beings are entitled to the knowledge that God made possible when he created the world. If we had that kind of recognition and that kind of willingness, see, to give knowledge like that and to point to the truth and share the science with everybody and excite the minds of everybody, poor as well as the rich, to get the benefit that God has given to you in this creation, material world. So when you do that, you put yourself in position then to be replaced by somebody else. And those who want to have power and authority, they don't want to ever have a situation where somebody else can rise up as high as they are and replace them. Well, I insist that the Muslim American society be against that, and you take down from position of authority all big-headed Negroes that want, pull it, I'm not excited, all big-headed Negroes that want to control your life and decide how much of what this or this that you are going to get. Nobody but God should decide how much you should get. If I qualify and I get more money, you shouldn't stay in my way. If I qualify to get more recognition as a teacher of Islam, you shouldn't stay in my way. If I qualify to get a higher position in the military, you shouldn't be in my way. If I'm qualified, you should believe in freedom, justice, and equality. It's not available to everybody just because they want it. It is available to those who qualify for it. You have to qualify for freedom. The more you qualify for freedom, and the more freedom you can get. And if you want to qualify for that maximum amount of freedom that a human being is created to have, then please put a limit on your freedom. You put a limit on your own freedom. when you see your freedom is too much causing trouble for you and others, you withdraw and say, oh, that's too much freedom. I don't want all of that freedom. That's destruction I'm asking for. Then you'll have not only freedom, but you'll have justice. You'll be a man of not only freedom, but a man of justice. Equality in original form, not wealth. And the equality is the equality of our creation. There's not equality for rich and poor. There will always be those rich than others, and those having to depend on others to open the way for wealth and material development or whatever. There will always be that. You can't change that. That is the way of creation. That's the way of God. So let us not follow the Western world. And they're thinking that put poor against rich, or that rich will be against poor. Let us condition poor to be friendly and appreciative, be friendly with the rich, and appreciate the rich so that we will have the rich not fearing us and not hating us for everything what they have. This world wants to create the breach and keep the breach growing bigger and bigger. If you know the guidance of God revealed to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, you want to heal the breach. Heal every breach that God did not intend to be there. And God did not intend to divide people along class lines of wealth and poverty, etc. Of those who know, the professionals and those who don't, will all brothers and sisters. In Al-Islam, the habit, I want to say tradition, because we are not consciously doing it. But the habit has remained in Al-Islam when you meet with Muslims of different nationality, different ethnic groups, different statuses in society, or in the world, one high and one low, one doctor and one is not. When they meet and greet each other, they are all the same. You can't tell one. The one is the doctor, and you can't tell the one that has a PhD or several PhDs, and the other one does not. As long as they are brothers and they are decent by their brother, they meet. And the doctor will be speaking and looking up to the little man that has not a doctorate degree. He will look up to him because he has excellence of character, just a little bit more than the professional has. And the professional will be looking up to him and praising him and saying, make dua for me, my brother. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayah 7, Allah embraces all things in mercy and knowledge. So when you look at the word Elamina, this is not the regular word you would look to talk about those physical objects out there. The world, it is not talking about that at all. These plurals. And the plant plural for living things, for all Al-Amina is talking about the world of mankind. The Arabic grammar tells us this is the world of mankind. It is not talking about Jupiter, Mars, and all those places up there. It is obvious the Quran is teaching us something more than that. Primitive or enlightened man believed that those things out there were worlds. They knew it. And they believed that some god they called by some other name, maybe, but they believed that some great power made all of that out there so that it is not anything new to be given people. The Bible has that before the Quran. And the Bible is not talking about these physical objects up there either. It's obvious that something made those physical objects. It is the world of mankind and God is talking about. Elamim means the world of mankind and knowledge. So really the world, Elamina and Adam, comes from the word meaning to know or knowledge. So El means knowledge. So the root is knowledge. The verb is to know, knowledge, to have knowledge. And Elamina means the world of knowledge. But look now how wonderful the revelation of the Quran is. Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, told us that everything in the Quran, God says, it has an easy to understand meaning, and it has a meaning that you get by enlightenment or by insight. If God is saying that the world, those people who don't know Arabic grammar and who know the Arabic grammar in the public, most of the people of the public don't know Arabic grammar. In the Western world, most of the people do know something about English grammar. But in the Arabic-speaking world, most of their public know nothing about Arabic grammar. Only the educated knows that they are in the small minority. Most of their people are not educated. They have a high rate of illiteracy that has survived until now. In time of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, the first thing he did was start trying to get everybody to be literate. He said, whoever learns just one line or part of a line, find someone who doesn't know that and teach him and teach them. So he was trying to bring about a revolution there for education. And he required everybody to learn how to read. But centuries passed, and they lost all of that and became of bad leaders. And because of bad leaders, they don't want their people to read. Elamim is talking about living things. It is the world of the living. That is how he should understand it. He's talking about the world of the living and the people, the living human beings and the world of knowledge. Someone will say, common people will think that it is means those bodies up there in the sky. That is okay that they mean that, but the teachers should teach them the real meaning so that they will understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to see in the bodies up there in the sky. He wants you to see the bodies up in the sky as embodying science. That's what it is. That's why it is Elamina. He says, Wasiya Kuli, Wasiya El Kuli, Sherilin Rahmatin Wal Ilman. Translated, he encompasseth all things in mercy and knowledge. Or he has made everything to embody, communicate knowledge or science. So when he says he is Lord of all the worlds, God is speaking of the world in a much higher and deeper meaning. He is talking about the world as objects embodying knowledge and science. And isn't that what happened to the Arab world of Arabia? When they were educated in Quran, they became scientific-minded and they started studying the stars, the heavens, and they got the world again. Astronomy from the Arab thinkers who were created by this kind of thinking in Quran. That is what made them scientific. I was reading recently, and I have to keep mentioning this every time I give a public address here. I mention it and read a caption in the Chicago paper. And it says, no longer can we say in religion or in the secular quarter, oil and water don't mix. And this article makes it very clear what the writer is talking about. He's talking about science and the religion or science in the spiritual matters. The water is the spiritual matter and the oil is science. Now, if it has a correct, and it is, and it has, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the oil in the Quran, how it originated. He says, a oil of a blessed tree, an olive. And he goes on to explain the light. And in religious schools of Al-Islam, that science is spiritual sciences. It says that the light are like seven and the darkness is like seven layers. And they interpret that to mean the spiritual sciences. So I'm sure that the Sufis brought that about. It is talking about science, period, but the oil is used because it is a liquid, and you wouldn't think of fire coming out of liquid, but some fires burn, but some liquids do. Flame does not touch the oil. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picked this liquid, the olive oil, and the olive to talk to us about science, how it appears to be a liquid. And you wouldn't think of liquid as burning, but this liquid will burn. And when you light it, it burns and the flames separate from the substance. The flame and the substance do not touch. And you can try it yourself or look in a book that has some picture of oil burning in a book. You will see the flame is not touching the oil. There's a space between the flame and the oil. So it seems that the oil is burning, but there is a mysterious separation from the oil and the flame itself. Small particles of it that you can't see is escaping and making the flame. And that's why you see the flame and you don't see the oil touching the flame. But that is a sign. Allah's word is his creation. I believe in these signs as much as I believe in my own life that I'm living on this earth, the signs of God. I'm talking about everything is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He speaks with his creation. That is how he first speaks to us. His words, his language is his creation. But you have to study his creation to get the full message or the communication that he has given to us. Communication for our life, our whole, for our moral life, communication for our rational life, communication for your emotional life. God is communications with his creation to give us understanding, teaching for our whole life and all of its different aspects. The Quran, Surah 41, Ayah 6, prophet mortal like you. So the leader don't think a moral man brings evidence from God. They understand that knowledge can come by intellectual study, pursuit, and by contact. So study is physical world science, applying self-mind. So if you got it that way, how did the next one get it? The same way. Or you teach him. The Quran, Surah 41, Ayah 6, say, Muhammad, I am a mortal like you. The Quran, Surah 8, Ayah 24, respond to Allah. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 186, Allah hears, responds to call. The Quran, Surah 4, Ayah 59, obey Allah, the messenger. And again from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, Prophet Muhammad says that God has obligated us to respond and accept the messenger of God when he has sent the messenger from amongst the believers. So he is one of the believers. He is to come from believing people, from the people of faith, not the people who reject faith, and that he is from our own selves. So he is from the believers, from themselves, from their own soul, from their own nature, from their own person. He is like them in his nature. So he is like them in his personality. He is like them in his soul. So they should recognize their kindred believers when they see him or when they learn of him. O ye who believe, respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to God. Don't be negligent, absent-minded. Don't be insensitive. Respond to Allah and to his messenger when you are called to what gave you life. And know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so close to the human person that he is as though operating between your body, yourself, and your own mortal life. Lying in your heart. The Quran, Surah 41, Ayah 6, I am a mortal human like you. John 14, 10, I in you and you in me. Jesus was pointing to something that was their identity or reality for both himself and the people. The excellence you see in me is also in you. So you have the potential. And until you come back to that excellence that God created for you and be reconciled with it, you cannot get to God. The Quran, Surah 41, Ayah 6, I am a mortal human like you. John 14, 10, I in you and you in me. It is a type that is in all of us. We have the same in ourselves. People thought wrongly that a man could be a human mortal, but his excellence is divine. So God wanted to kill that idea once and for all. Humans like you, not like a God nor angel. God who created everything and gave everything its constitution and its possibilities. God can teach a human person himself and qualify that person to be the teacher for all people and for all time. The Quran, Surah 41, Ayah 10, God gave man all his needs in four periods. Four human essence is seen in four. So we know it is not a salat, but the time of Asr prayer is a salat and is a certain time, and that is between sunset and thura. So it is at a certain time. I don't think it has a direct reference to the Asr prayer, but indirectly, yes. So when it says, surely man is lost except for he who believes, has faith in good deeds, and strives in the support of truth, and patience, and perseverance. So that is the end of that surah. So it is just telling us that the virtuous, we need to be successful in life and how to keep the life as God wants it. And you know, human essence is seen in fours, and the Quran addresses that essence over and over again. And that indirectly addresses human essence, because when you lose our essence, that is when we lose our life. We lose everything. So it is addressing human essence. And it is addressing history because it says, well, Asr, translated by the token of time, and some of them add, down through the ages. So this is talking about difficult times. No, because you are not praying. You are speaking, and God is speaking. And when you say that, you are speaking too. So you should say at the end of that, not I mean, but Sadaqa Allah has been, and the end of Surah Asr. Immigrants do not know the religion. So these immigrants, they are being all this, they are bringing all of this confusion into our country. America is a Muslim community, and they don't know. They think that they know, and they know the religion. These guys just came from poverty or struggling to get rich over here in their country. And they didn't make it too well over there. They see opportunity over here, and they come over here, and suddenly he thinks he can be an imam because He thinks we do not know anything about the religion. They say we need people. They don't know the religion. I can be an imam here, there, pardon me. So there is a dua in the Quran, and the people are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Fatiha. Fatiha is a dua and a surah. Dua is not a salat prayer. Opinion differing, allowing them to be expressed. So prayer in this sense is dua, right? Because if we say this and say Ameen, this is no salat. That is a dua, right? So that is a dua. So a dua, the Arabic word, du'a, which means to call, ask for something. Call on God for help. So if there is nothing in their calling on God for help, at that is no dua. Why is al-Fatiha a surah, but also a dua? It asks, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide us on the right way. So the Quran opens with a chapter that is a dua, and it is a standard dua for all occasions. It opens up the Quran. So we have different opinions, and I don't discourage that. I encourage it, even if you are wrong. If you have something to say, say it. Who knows? Maybe we are wrong. Maybe you are right. And if we can't agree, now just let it rest. See if it has the power to come back. So Quran Surah 42, Ayah 2, could have made man one. Organizations like the World Conference of Religion and Peace, Hope in the City, Muslim World Congress, the Muslim World League, and many others are working to bring about more desire in the top leadership for a united effort, a coalition, working to support the best that is in all the people, not just in our people, in all people, and to help each other come back to the best of what God gave us through his service and his messengers. So this is what we are trying to do. We know we can't change each other, not at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if he had wanted us to be one people, all in one ummah, he would have made it so. But he left it like this so that we would be tested by each other, and so that we may compete with each other in the race for all that is good and prove ourselves before Allah, who is the most worthy and who is not, who is in the first class and who is in the second class, and who is in the third class and who is in no class. So education and knowledge, Tawheed, God and the matter. The Quran Surah 42, Ayat 11, there is none like Allah. As Muslims, we believe first of all in the unity of matter. And we believe, and when we say matter, we mean the whole cosmic order, everything in existence, as religious people call creation. So we believe in the unity of matter, and we believe that the oneness is a reflection of the unity of God, as we call it in our religious language, Tawheed. So Tawheed begins with the belief that there is but one God, and everything else is in existence because of that one God. His existence has no beginning, no end. He is eternal without beginning, without end. He is without change. He was, he is, and he will always be. That in our religion, so we taught that nothing can even begin to approach him to change him. He cannot be changed. Nothing resembles him. There is no image for him, as it says in the Quran. Lesa meslehu shay. Translated, there is nothing at all. And meslehu It is also a common expression in the Arabic language that simply means likeness. So there is nothing at all existing like him. So the prophet left with us a sense of great importance for human beings who accept that kind of focus, that kind of way of viewing an external reality and their own reality, man's reality, the very, very special role of man, that life is with a sense of great importance, that man in this vast universe, if he devotes himself to the service of God, satisfying what God requires of him, working for God's aim and God's purpose in the natural and human world, that his freedom is unlimited, and also that tool, the tool, the resources by which he will advance himself, the society and the world of man, are also unlimited. God says he made useful to be of utility whatever is in the heavens and the earth. It is in the earth, the sun, the moon, the element, the climate, the natural forces. Everything created, he has made it to yield service to human society. Because of that belief, man of the enlightenment expanded their vision, their intellect, and worked hard to improve the state of human society, utilize the natural sciences and the human sciences for that purpose. So this is what accounts for the greatness of the early community of Muhammad, the prophet, prayers, and the peace be upon him. Its scientific advancement, its human advancement, its great excellence. And this is what accounts for the excellence of the Western society and also, as I mentioned, the Jewish enlightenment that came before those two. So industry before civilization by the primitive man. So it is very important then for us to preserve that focus on the historical development of knowledge. Industry did not begin with the enlightenment. It began before this enlightenment. In fact, industry began before there was civilization, primitive man. Notice how certain things happened in his particular environment. And he understood it. And he was able to cook his food with fire. He was able to make tools and weapons out of iron. And he was able to make this vessel to sell the seed and do many things and practice medicine. So this major enlightenment for man that accounts for the greatness of man and the world of man is not beginning of science, matter. It is the beginning of a certain defined, specific way of looking at matter, the role of matter, the rule of man in the matter, and most of all, the theme of matter, seeing the aim in matter and believing that there is a God behind it. That is what accounts for the great civilization we call Islamic civilization, Judaic civilization, and Christian civilization. And they were others. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. We want to ask everyone to join our family, Amina Bey, to join our family, her family. Ask that you join in supporting my cousin Tamina Nasari, now Cleary. We continue to pray for her recovery, and we thank you in advance for giving generous donations. Lunchhood.com. Tamina Nasari, Cleary. We need assistance for home modification and accessible. Also, we are asking everyone to pray for our beloved sister, to pray for our beloved sister Haji Shakira. Her janazah is tomorrow, March 10th at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at Masjidullah in Plainfield, New Jersey. We thank New Africa Excellent Marat Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us in mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be on you. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m.